Good morning. I'm delighted to be with all of you, and I'd like for us to pray before we get into the text. Gracious God, we honor you for who you are and what you do for us, that you are without need of humanity, but you invite us in again and again to be a part of your community, to receive love and mercy, to be welcomed as participants in your kingdom. Give us clear eyes to see the truth of your word, and ready hands to do your work. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. If you grew up in a Western culture, which includes most of white America, you grew up in a culture that is youth-centered. This means that because of a Protestant work ethic and an emphasis on values like individualism and independence, being younger is preferred to being older. This is connected to the American distaste for growing old, the decrease in productivity that naturally comes with age, and a strong cultural avoidance of death. However, in some societies, like many Eastern cultures and Native American communities, they tend to lean and favor those who are older. The basis for this is found in a more community-oriented mindset, a strong emphasis on familial lines, and a few other similar factors. There are even, in some of these countries, laws that mandate that you have to go and visit your parents on a semi-regular basis. It's a little bit hard to enforce, but I think the concept it retains is true. There's a value placed in these communities on taking care of those who are older. This contrasting and sometimes clashing perspective between youth and age in our world is also found in the scriptures, which shouldn't surprise us. Those who are young in the text of the Bible are often portrayed as vulnerable to foolishness, to being drawn away into dangerous sorts of things. They are cautioned again and again to avoid temptation, to be wary of those who are threatening them. We see this often in the Proverbs, talking about the many threats to the moral value of young people. There is both an awareness and perhaps an unfair assumption that youth and foolishness go hand in hand, and that without intentional direction, the young will be led astray. We also see a lot of verses about the strength and capacity of youth, the power of being young. In some ways, these two ideas feel a little at odds with one another. But I think the tension here shows us that in ancient Israel and in other parts of the ancient world, there was two realities in which young people lived. The first is that their youth gave them great strength and power. And the second is that their youth made them less wise by numerical number and therefore at greater risk. We also see some tension in the discussion about the aged in the scriptures, those who are old. There is a presumption, both in the text of the scripture and in many modern communities, that with age comes inherent wisdom, that if you've survived as long as you have, you've learned something in your life. And whether that is true or not entirely true, I think maybe is a little unfair to say. But there is an assumption there. There's also a presumed respect for those who are old. And in fact, many instructions and stories about respecting those who are older, those who have lived a long life. It's important to realize that both an emphasis in youth and an emphasis in age are flawed systems. If there's too much emphasis on the young, it can lead to a strong work-oriented attitude, which means that anyone who is less useful, either by physical age or disability or intellectual capacity, is suddenly less valuable to the society because they can't do the physical labor that someone would interpret to be important. It can also lead to things like neglect of your elders or a failure to learn from history or wisdom. When there is an emphasis on those who are older, it can lead a society into a place of being stuck, not being ready or willing to change because of what was. It can also put too much pressure on those who are younger because of elders who perceive themselves to be entitled to the care that they receive. This can create bitterness and cycles of family dysfunction. But how can we identify another way? One that recognizes that youth and age do not have inherent moral value. One is not good and the other bad, but rather both of them as elements of our life. Our reading today from the book of Titus tries to reflect a Christian principle of youth and age, one that doesn't pick sides, but rather builds an intentional crossroad that acknowledges the gifts that both youth and age have to offer, while keeping their respective responsibilities in mind. So we're going to read today from Titus chapter 2, 1 through 8, and I'm reading this week from the New Living Translation. As for you, Titus, promote the kind of living that reflects wholesome teaching. Teach the older men to exercise self-control, to be worthy of respect, and to live wisely. They must have sound faith and be filled with love and patience. Similarly, teach the older women to live in a way that honors God. They must not slander others or be heavy drinkers. Instead, they should teach others what is good. These older women must train the younger women to love their husbands and children, to live wisely and to be pure, to work in their homes, to do good, and to be submissive to their husbands. Then they will not bring shame on the word of God. In the same way, encourage the young men to live wisely, and you yourself must be an example to them by doing good works of every kind. Let everything you do reflect the integrity and seriousness of your teaching. Teach the truth so that your teaching can't be criticized. Then those who oppose us will be ashamed and have nothing bad to say about us. This reading is from the book of Titus, reportedly written from Paul to Titus, who is a church leader and traveling church organizer. The timing of this book is a bit ambiguous, but it is written as a teaching from one mentor to the person they are mentoring in the ways of church function, Christian practice, and other essential truths. This portion from the start of the second chapter describes what kinds of right living would help the Christian community that Titus had found himself a part of. This text follows on the heels of some very specific instructions in the first chapter about some of the people on the island of Crete where Titus was working. They had neglected their social responsibilities. The claim was that these new young believers were living radical Christian lives, and as a consequence, were ignoring the responsibilities they had to their communities and their households. We see the criticism most clearly in the way that he talks about the young women, of course, but it is their deep religious devotion that had led them to unintentionally neglect their homes. However, to be a Christian at this time was already societally on very shaky ground. This was not an accepted faith. And so Paul did not want the evangelism, the sharing of that faith, to be at risk because of a poor perception from outsiders. They didn't want people not to believe in Jesus because they thought that believing in Jesus would threaten the safety and integrity of their households. So instead, Paul encourages Titus to remind the believers of their social and communal responsibilities based on the context that they lived in. So the list that we get is divided into four portions: the older men, the older women, the younger women, and the younger men. For our cultural purposes, we can think of this in two halves instead of four portions: those who are older and those who are younger. Since we live in a very different kind of society than they did, and Paul's instructions are based in their social context, then it's much more appropriate for us to read this through the lens of our social context, where age is a much larger factor than the gendered constructs that they lived in. So first, the encouragement for those who are older. This is listed first that they should exercise self-control. This is not only a fruit of the Spirit, but a necessary virtue when interacting with other people. Those older are also instructed to be worthy of respect. This is the assumption that they will be receiving respect from their community, but that they should not shirk the responsibilities that come with that respect. The next is to live wisely, followed quickly by having sound faith. Each of these connected to the need of their community to serve as anchors of wisdom and of belief. And as those who serve as a centerpiece for their environment, they are encouraged to be filled with love and with patience. This sets us an example not of bitterness and of impatience, but of compassion and peace. And in doing so, the text says, they live in a way that honors God. They should be admonished, Paul says, not to speak wrongly or negatively about others, which is a temptation for those who are old as much as for those who are young, and not to allow themselves to fall into heavy drinking, which would negatively affect their perception by outsiders. But rather, the older members are to teach what is good, both by the lives that they live and by the teaching that they offer. Those who are younger get a similar list from the text. The first encouragement is connected to many of the others set in this larger cultural context, which reflects the internal failings of those who were supposed to be supporting their households. To love and submit to one another in a marital relationship and to love one's children is a basic Christian practice for those for whom it is relevant. But remember, this is a descriptive instruction. Paul is acknowledging a situation that already exists. This is not prescriptive, and those of us without husbands and children should not run off to find them so that we don't unintentionally break this rule. This just means that we should consider those to whom we have familial and communal responsibilities, and we should extend love and duty to them. The young ones should also seek, as the older ones did, to live wisely, to be pure, really, at its core, to be holy, and to do good. This resists this narrative of youth and folly going hand in hand, and it allows the young people to choose holiness, wisdom, rather than just avoiding temptation and foolishness. The last encouragement for those who are young are to work in their homes and outside of it, to be productive members of their households and their communities. This is doing good works of every kind, not just in their homes and their church communities, but also the world in which they lived. Neither of these lists is comprehensive, covering every element of Christian life, but they offer us a good starting point to reflect on how we are to live in every station. Now, if you don't fall neatly into one of these two categories, you might have been feeling a little left out this whole time. Perhaps you know that you are past what some would consider the prime of your youth, but you're pretty sure you're not yet to old age. And I have two things to say to those of you in this category. The first is to consider the context in which you are playing this role. If you tend to serve and find yourself in events with younger people and younger children, be mindful that in that context, you play the role and responsibility of one who is older, even if you haven't gotten yet to your 50th birthday. And if you are often among those who are the same age as your parents or your grandparents, you likely fill in that context the role that a younger person would fill. No matter your context in a given day, be flexible and mindful of the role that you have in each place, and offer what you can. The second is a reminder about following in Jesus' footsteps. Jesus, who was neither old nor young when he came and ministered on earth. Despite not being old, he held a position of great authority and influence in his community, far beyond what would be expected. Despite not being young, Jesus resisted traditions when they were presented to him as a sacred thing and offered a new way of living in the world. Jesus, who is the example for all of us, lived a life in between. His greatest gift in this conversation is that he serves every context as a holy example. So when considering this text and the challenges and instructions for those older and those younger, we can take a minute to consider the instructions offered to Titus and perhaps reconsider them in a modern category. This will help us apply them more effectively in our time and our place. So for you who are older, may you lean into life through the challenges of humility, self-control, virtue, and faithfulness. If the challenge for you is humility, consider times when someone asked you a question or challenged an assumption that you had, and instead of reacting defensively, offer a humble ear. Humility also gives us the chance to keep our judgment in check, no matter how right we feel in our assessment. If your challenge is self-control, maybe the next time that you want to buy or collect or store up, ask if you need to consider giving away or letting go instead. Self-control is not just for the most terrible of vices, but also our own nature to keep and consume. If your challenge is virtue, right living, rather than assuming that wisdom and age go hand in hand, observe wise actions of those who are younger than you and put those principles into practice. Practicing fruit of the Spirit every day in the most ordinary of ways creates a life of virtue. And if for you your challenge is faithfulness, start by committing to share the things that God has done for you and allow the faith of others to strengthen your own. Faithful living honors God, not us. And praising God for what God has done is our first step. For those of you who are younger, may you lean into life through the challenges of righteousness, relationships, and community. If your challenge is righteousness, dedicate yourself to a new spiritual practice, whether it is reading the scriptural text, time in prayer, time in silence. No full life is lived without dedication to God's goodness, and that means sharing God's goodwill with others. If your challenge is relational, begin to watch the way that those around you express their love and mirror that expression back to them. Name for your friends and your family when they are demonstrating love to others. Honor their compassion. Truly seeing other people is an expression of love. If your challenge is your community orientation, choose one night a week to specifically serve someone else. If your time is not completely your own by factors outside of your control, like work or family obligations, spend a small amount of every paycheck on food for the blessings box, a donation to the CAC, flowers for your widowed neighbor. When we choose to commit our lives in these ways, we fill the roles that Paul encourages us to enter. But more than a role or a status, a name badge that identifies us as older or younger, we learn that every person at every age has a part to play in bringing God's kingdom to earth. In doing these things, we affirm the goal found in verse 8, to not offer outsiders who might have a criticism any leg to stand on. When we live well, no matter our age, there is no space for outside judgment. Instead, we give God glory and demonstrate the welcoming arms of our faith, no matter how old or young we might be. You've been listening to me, Pastor Kana Moore, at Hayes Christian Church. Hayes Christian Church is a non-denominational fellowship in Hayes, Kansas. We are supported by the generosity of our members, attenders, and friends. The financial support we raise goes to projects which further spread the gospel to those who do not yet know Jesus, to those local, national, and international missions, and they help keep these podcasts free. If you would like to share a monetary gift with us, please visit our website at hayeschristianchurch.org and click on the donate button, or you may mail your gift to P.O. Box 1111, Hayes, Kansas 67601. If you have any questions, comments, or would like more information, We would love to hear from you. Simply go to our website and click on the Contact Us form. Thank you for your generosity, and may God bless you as you seek to follow Him.